The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Kathy Bastancic, Director of Macro Analysis at the Conference Board, looking at leading indicators and so much more. Kathy, a long history looking at the economy and credit markets and more. Kathy, first of all, we got this 0.1 gain in the Index of Leading Economic Indicators. A little bit smaller than forecast, but it really isn't the size of the rise. It's the fact that it's still rising, kind of underscoring gradual improvement in the economy that Ben Bernanke referenced yesterday at that fateful press conference.
That's right, Kathleen. And if you look at the six-month annualized growth rate, which is what we try to encourage people to do, you look at the trend and it is up and it's actually stronger. It's progressively getting stronger. We still have an economy that I would say is, struggling to get to its potential, but we are getting closer to that. Our concern all along has been what the sequester spending cuts would do. But as the data come in, it looks less and less of a drag from the sequester than even we thought. And I think that our leading economic indicators just sort of support the idea, exactly as you said, Bernanke yesterday laid out, is the patient's getting progressively better. And it may be time to start to remove some of that artificial life support gradually, but to start to do that.
Well, Kathy, he also said that downside risks to the economy had diminished. Are you seeing that at all in the leading economic indicators? I mean, for example, this month it was just 3 of the 10 indicators that contributed to the increase, and they were stock prices and a credit index.
Right, which obviously could turn next month and be negative. But I think, yes, in general, when we look at the last couple of months, the breadth of the indicators are pointing upward. And again, if you look at the trend of the index, it is pointing to an economy that's going to continue to expand. We're not going to necessarily reach 3% or 3.5% anytime soon, but we certainly could see, above 2% growth rate, especially, I think, in the second half of the year.
So, Kathy, take a look at this, the markets today. The Dow is now down almost 190 points after a reasonably positive look from leading indicators. Philly Fed is now 12.5 positive from a negative reading, and existing home sales rose. And now it's 191. Is it because they feel this is inevitable now? The Fed's going to taper back on quantitative easing?
Well, it's interesting. So what we have seen for quite a number of weeks now is that you want the data good enough, but not too good. You know, we really like that quantitative easing juice and that, that stimulus we're getting. So, let's have it kind of a Goldilocks scenario. And now what you're seeing is the data are suggesting that maybe it is time to move back on that. And, this was always going to happen at some point, and I think, but it's also not surprising to see the markets have some convulsions here, and it's not just the U.S., it's globally. The Fed's presence in the markets was very large, and it's been there for a while, and it's really mispriced things.
Let's bring in another voice to augment Kathy Bastancic's fine thoughts. Kathy, of course, Director of Macro Analysis of the Conference Board, now bringing in Brian Westbury, Chief Economist at First Trust Portfolios. Brian, welcome.
Kathleen, great to be with you.
Well, and you got a Kathy and a Kathleen along with Avani, Brian. What's your take this morning? I'm looking at my Bloomberg screen. It looks like the 10-year briefly spiked up to 2.46 on the yield.
Wow.
Stocks, the Dow was down more than 200 points. The better the economic news we get this morning, the worse stocks are performing. What's going on, Brian?
Yeah. Well, obviously, this is all about QE and the end of QE. I just want to, I'll say a couple of things. No, number one, this is all the expectations about QE. QE, the Fed is still buying $85 billion worth of bonds every month. And that kind of tells me something, that it's not the bond buying itself that is keeping yields down. It's sort of expectations. And gold is off about 50 bucks an ounce this morning as well. The second thing I would say is that I don't believe that QE itself has been the driving force behind the economy and the markets. And I'll say that really briefly by saying that the monetary base, because the Fed has been boosting its balance sheet, is up 25-30% a year for the past 4 years. But M2, the M2 money supply, it's still growing right around 6%. So I don't think it's the money supply that's been boosting stocks. I think it's actual profits. And therefore, I'll just close up right here. I think any sell-off in the equities markets because of fears of tapering or the end of QE is a buying opportunity. And so I look at the stock market today as even cheaper than it was 2 days ago.
Right, Kathy. It's interesting, isn't it? Everything is selling off. Is this cash just waiting on the sidelines now for perhaps, as Brian says, a buying opportunity?
It certainly could be a buying opportunity. Of course, in the midst of this, one has to be careful because the markets are so turbulent and there's this wild repricing. But at some point, it could be a time to get in. I think the other thing, though, I would say is that I agree with Brian in the sense that QE, especially the third round on the margin, probably did very little for the real economy. But I do think it kept bond yields artificially lower than they otherwise would be. And therefore, it forced investors to go further out on the risk spectrum. And I think that's the way it boosted equity prices. So I do very much think the QE affected other asset classes, whether it's corporate bonds, junk bonds, emerging markets, or equities. And now that they're pulling back, you've got a decision to make. I mean, it could be someone who bought a dividend-yielding stock says, well, now maybe I don't need to own that stock. I can go into a 10-year treasury and get 2.4%.
Brian, can I ask you, yesterday the chairman started talking about the stock theory, and he said if it was correct that just holding these securities on the balance sheet of the Fed would keep interest rates down.
You know, this is where I'm going to disagree with Kathy and with the chairman. I guess there's a couple of ways I could say this, but let's imagine that the Federal Reserve bought every single 10-year Treasury bond except for one. And so $10,000 bond or $100,000 bond, there was only one left. What would the yield on that security be? It's still a 10-year bond. It pays a coupon every 6 months. It matures in 10 years. It's no different than it was the day before when the Fed didn't own all the other ones. In other words, what I'm getting to here is that I don't think having the Fed own these bonds is what is keeping rates down. I think what's keeping rates down is the Fed holding the short-term interest rate, the federal funds rate, at zero.
Okay.
And that's what's keeping the whole yield curve down. And then my final point here would be that P.E. ratios, price-earnings ratios, in the equities markets in the U.S. are no higher today than they were back when QE started. So it's hard for me to believe that we actually have had a repricing of risk when P.E. ratios are still so low.
Kathy, from all the data you look at the conference board, the consumer confidence, leading indicators, discussions with CEOs, can this economy weather a move, even a tapering off of QE?
I think that it can, and it is a tapering off. So if we go from $85 billion to $60 billion, again, the market hears it differently. And also the fact, I think the market may have been shocked that they intend to end by the middle of next year. Maybe it's also the ending point. But I do think that if the underlying economy is doing better and the data continue, yes, it can. The other thing I would also where I would agree with Brian is I do think corporate profits have been very sturdy and strong. And we deal with corporate members at the conference board, and they've really restructured. And they're very lean and mean.
Brian, I want to get back to what we see right now in the economy, because this morning in particular, stocks deepened their decline after they saw that the Philly Fed index of business activity in the sort of the Mid-Atlantic region rose to 12.5. It's in positive territory. It has been negative for several months. Existing home sales exceeded the forecast, up more than 4%.
Right.
All of these seem to deepen this view in the markets that whenever the Fed moves, it's definitely going to do it.
Yeah, and what we saw in the Empire Manufacturing Index, what we've continued to see, and I know initial claims were up a little bit, but they're still at very low levels, and continuing claims are down, suggests that employment's going to be good. And so I think it's pretty understood, well understood, that the economy has turned, and it's probably getting a little stronger. And if we look around the world, and I know you know this, Kathleen, but bond yields are up. And I think this has more to do with a strengthening economy. I know the end of QE and bond desks have been selling off because of that, but I think a lot of this has to do with a strengthening economy, and that's good news for profits, and that's why I keep coming back to this, the fact that the stock market it's probably oversold right now. I'm not saying you have to buy it today or this minute, but boy, this is presenting an opportunity to people who wanted to get in.
Brian, can I ask you about the Fed chairman's comments about inflation? He said too low inflation was a problem for an economy, but that this sort of bout of disinflation, if you like, is temporary. Do you believe that? I see some skepticism today.
No, I do believe that this is a temporary move toward disinflation here. The Fed has been easy for a long time. We all know that. It's M2 is up about 6% a year. It means that nominal GDP probably should be accelerating in here. I think the real key is velocity, and that's how fast people spend money, how much we turn it over. And for the last 4 years, there's been this pall of negativity and pessimism, and I think it's held back velocity. I think what's happening now is velocity's beginning to pick up, and the Fed's going to be presented with a problem in that they have so much money in the system. If they don't back it out, then we could get more inflation down the road. So I don't think deflation is a problem at all. I think inflation is really the thing that the Fed should be worried about in the longer run.
And in fact, Fed Chairman Paul Volcker at his recent speech to the Economic Club of New York seemed to deliver a not so veiled warning on that to the Federal Reserve.
Right.
But in fairness to Ben Bernanke, he does seem to be trying to pull off a delicate maneuver. And with markets so piled on in one direction, it's tough. But I love the analogy he used yesterday at the press conference, asked about what he's talking about. He says, to use the analogy of driving an automobile, any slowing in the pace of bond purchases will be akin to letting up a bit on the gas pedal as the car picks up speed, not beginning to apply the brakes. The goal, he said, is an economy at a reasonable cruising speed. This is a Fed that sounds like it's in no hurry to become tighter. It's
right.
Just not going to push on the gas as hard because the car is already doing better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, remember, I come at this with a little bit even. I don't think QE itself has lifted the economy because it has not turned into M2. So I believe the Fed could actually push the brakes on with QE, if that's what we want to say they're doing, without actually putting the brakes on. But let's go into their world, and let's say instead of buying $85 billion a month, I only bought $45 billion a month. Well, that's not putting on the brakes at all. And especially if you have my view, which is that QE hasn't helped anything anyway. So the point I'm getting to here is I think the economy is in a self-sustaining recovery. U.S. corporations are more productive and efficient than they've ever been in the history of mankind. Corporate profits are 2.5 times higher than where they were in 1999, and stock prices are still about the same place. In fact, they're cheaper than they were back then. And so, you know, the point I get to here is that if you're an investor, now's the time. I'm not worried about the end of QE.
Contagion from emerging markets, though, Brian? Just let me give you this headline. The Turkish benchmark index now has fallen 21% from its May 22nd peak. So in just three
right.
weeks, it's in a bear market. The Turkish lira at an all-time low, the Indian rupee, several Asian currencies. Will that cause dollars, you know, to come into the system to head back to the U.S.? And what's that going to do?
I actually, you know, I go back to the early 80s as the time to, if we're going to think about a collapse in emerging markets, let's say, back in the early 80s, every Latin and South American country, every single one of them, except for two or three small ones, Ecuador, Colombia, defaulted on their debt. It was a complete collapse in Latin and South America, and yet the U.S. economy had a boom in 83, 84, 85 while that was happening. So I actually think this benefits us. We see manufacturing coming back to the United States today. We're in the midst of an oil boom. We could be energy independent at the minimum, or at, I guess, the soonest 3 years, at the longest 8 years. This could be a great American decade.
All right, let's leave it on an up note. Brian Westbury, thank you so very much. Joining us from First Trust Advisors.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.